Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Vikings' performance was as bad as he's ever witnessed, and the day before he witnessed the Gopher defense. How about that football weekend in town, Chip Scoggins?
Did you get enough? Were you happy? Were you?
I was happy we both were done, I got to be honest.
Yeah, it was brutal. That's as bad as it gets there.
Okay, let's start Vikings, and let's just start with the news of the day. That McCarthy not feeling right on the way back, concussion protocol, but he's at TCO, he's in meetings, he's talking. So are we already starting the soft benching part two debate?
Oh, I'm sure. I haven't checked Twitter, but I'm sure that's already broken out. I mean, it was inevitable when you heard that news, because it broke out the first time when he had the injury. So I don't know. I was watching O'Connell's press conference today where he announced it, and he clearly, you know, with concussions, before you go through the protocol, you don't know how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. So he could play Sunday, might be Max Brosmer time. I don't know. This early in the week, it's really too hard to know for sure, but not good. Clearly.
Yes. Okay, so let's start with this premise. I don't know what J.J. McCarthy's calling card so far is. I don't think he has anything where he can fall back and say, we can go to that. I don't see any signs of improvement. But if he's healthy, I still believe he should start the next multiple games in a row. And maybe if it's two or three more in a row, there's no improvement. I go to Brosmer. He's played six games. You set up this year trying to do both. Let's never forget that they were trying to do both, to win at a high level and also develop him. I never once thought it would be this miserable, this dreadful. But if he's healthy, Chip, I still believe he should be the starter.
I agree. As bad as it's been the last three games, particularly the last two, you have to put him out there and just see if it does improve. Because to me, you have to get to the end of the season and you have to know, okay, we're going to go forward with him or we're going to sign a veteran that's going to come in here and compete and the job's wide open. Having him stand on the sidelines is not going to answer that question for you. It's just not. And so, you know, I know people have already rendered the verdict in their mind already, but I still think you have to see if he can figure something out. But you're right, it's not getting better and it's getting worse. And I think probably the most alarming thing to me, and we talk so much about his accuracy, is just the pocket awareness. He just looks frantic.
He won't throw the ball.
I go back to, you know, second half it was, you know, he just kept holding the ball and taking sacks. But that drive at the end of the first half where he took the sack on second 10, where he didn't move off his spot.
Correct.
The rush was coming right at him, and he didn't even move.
Nope.
It just took it. It's like you can't take a sack there. So it looks like the game is still moving at warp speed, and he's so indecisive and just doesn't have a clue what to do. And so in saying all that, I still think you have to – keep putting him out there to see if something clicks and he can start to show some progress. But now with this concussion, this may interfere with, you know, with that process. I don't know, you know, how long that will last, but there's no signs of improvement anywhere the last couple weeks.
None. And I'll speak for you on this. Neither one of us thinks KOC is making this up as an excuse to not play him. So let's just end that nonsense. It's not going to, but I'm sure you're 100% with me. They're not going to make up a concussion. Come on, people are smarter than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I believe in karma, and it's just, I mean, that's something that you just don't make up a concussion, right?
No.
But it was interesting. I will say this. We went in the locker room yesterday at Green Bay. That was as quiet a locker room as I think I've ever been in. I mean, you could hear there was no talking. And JJ, for the first, people were getting dressed and they're moving the equipment and all these things. And he just kept staring straight ahead into his locker, just straight ahead into his locker. There's no movement. People are coming by and patting him on the back. I mean, he is searching. He is absolutely searching. And, his press conference, he just gave like three mm-hmm. questions. Because it's like, what more can he say at this point? The optics are telling you everything you want to see. Like, he just looks overmatched by the assignment right now.
Well, sports, and this happens to millions and millions at whatever level, right, where they've had success. And sometimes you go to the pro level and you're at that mid level. Sometimes you flourish, and other times you just can't cut it. And McCarthy has been so good throughout his life to then be this stymied. And the most basic elements of the game seem impossible to him. It has to be overwhelming to him. It has to shatter. Absolutely shatter his confidence. And I get that that's where the point, like our friend Church put this out. You got to sit him down. You got to give him a couple weeks to get him straight. And I understand the confidence just isn't there. He needs reps. He needs reps to either show us, guess what? This is just who he is. That, you know what? He was surrounded by uber talent in Michigan. Harbaugh knew what he was doing by not having him pass a lot and a more simplistic offense. Or, guess what? He's going to have a half where you finally see enough progress to think there's hope. Not a half to think, okay, we got the next Drake May, but to feel like you're actually going the right way.
Yeah, and I understand people saying, to what Charch was saying, is at what point does it become counterproductive to his career to keep putting him out there if it's just not happening? And I totally understand that logic. I think most people expected growing pains. Anytime you have a first-year quarterback, you're going to have them. But this just feels totally different than growing pains. Like, I thought growing pains would be like, okay, he threw it into double coverage or a blitz got him, something like that. But this just feels like fundamental, where for the past month, all we heard about was his mechanics and his footwork and all that.
Yep.
And then we see the wild throws where they're just not even close, and then the indecision in the pocket where he's taking sacks that he shouldn't because he won't pull the trigger on the throw. It looks like there's like a million things swirling around in his head every time he steps on the field right now. And so would stepping back clear that up? I don't know, but I still think this is something, you're right, that you keep putting him out there and hope that something clicks, that he finds something, that he gets a rhythm. I even thought KO did it yesterday with the way he called the first half. I mean, never called a half like that. I mean, it was, a lot of runs. And then even, was it the first series where the three screen passes, those things were a disaster.
Yes.
I mean, I thought that would be high percentage, and even that went sideways. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to solve it, but I think continuing to put him out there and get the reps and hopefully something clicks is probably the best strategy right now.
All right, we're not done with him because there's still so much to talk about him if we're going to talk sports in this town, and also just emphasize how miserable that second half was. He's a tremendous guest. We are lucky to have him, and great human being. Chip Scoggins right here on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right. Gave these numbers earlier in the show, and some folks probably saw these online, but they are so jarring, it's worth saying them again. Okay, EPA, as you know, Chip, the last, what, like 10, 15 years has become a kind of a modern way of evaluating players. And it's basically a first and 10, a third and 15, what you expect out of each circumstance. Okay, that's I can get more in depth, but that's the simplest way to say it. So there are two numbers that individuals found. One, EPA quarterbacks since 2000, if you've played enough, if you've had enough snaps. J.J. McCarthy right now is ahead of one person out of 852 quarterbacks. One person, Jamarcus Russell. Then, as Alec Lewis from The Athletic pointed out, now if we just go on pure dropbacks, okay, the other one was just regular plays. Okay, now on pure dropbacks, Chip, he's a lot better. He's 807th out of 813. So I bring these up to say, if we want to go back and forth, the two of us probably could go back and forth on athlete after athlete who looked overwhelmed early and then had great success. But I'm trying to think of somebody, Chip, who was this abysmal and was getting discernibly worse. And the basic plays are so hard, and then still turned into a very good to great player.
Oh, I mean, putting me on the spot, I don't know. You know, I mean, you see it on Twitter, you know, well, this guy had a rough start, and look where he became. I mean, yes, there's cases you can find that. I mean, and there's also cases that guys had a bad start and never got better, right? I mean, you could do that all day.
It's just to this level. That's what I'm saying. To this level.
That's the thing. And here's the thing, Chad. He's got Justin Jefferson. He's got Jordan Addison.
Yes.
He's got Hockenson. He's got, well, I didn't think, you know, they had the five guys on the line yesterday. They didn't do like we thought they were going to do. But
running the ball, they did.
Running ball. But this is not a team that lacks talent on offense that you're asking the quarterback, okay, go be a savior. And you're just surrounded by bad players. That's not the case at all.
No.
So I think that's probably the most alarming thing. It's like you got, you know, a generational talent at wide receiver that you're missing and you're not taking advantage of. So, yeah, it's – and I wrote a column for this today that's going to be posted on the Star Tribune here sometime today. Somewhere along the way, there was a miscalculation. For them, we heard so much about mechanics last month, and JJ's talking about rewiring his neurological pathways.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a quarterback who is ready to play?
Not at all. Mm-mm.
Like, and to think that you're going to spend over $300 million on the roster and then have a guy who's talking about basically had to overhaul your entire mechanics, and you're doing it on the fly, and you're having these sessions out on the grass and rewiring neurological pathways. I mean, it doesn't match. It doesn't mesh, like the concept and what really was reality. So there was a miscalculation, I think, both on O'Connell and Kwesi's part.
Well, that's a tremendous point. Two ways. One, on just the quarterbacks, because, again, I watched Aikman. You watched Aikman. I watched Manny. You watched Manny. Go back and look at how those teams played the year or two before, right? I'm just a hunch, since they both were number one picks. First of all, they weren't in the first year. They were in the first year. It's not their second year. Those teams weren't 14-3. And so then his play and Darnold, I mean, the timing is just, it's just as awful as it gets for the Vikings. If you are observing McCarthy the way you did, And I know he can't do a lot physically, but on the fundamentals and on the speed, if you're observing him and he is a minimum year away like he is, then that's where you have to – even with Darnold's last two disastrous games, you still have to sit there and say, We like McCarthy, but he's just not ready. And you wish he played better against the Lions or Rams, but we just went 14-3, and we can't even come close to matching that because this is our evaluation. I mean, is it also that they just got too stubborn and they believe themselves so much that, hey, our system works. We just put Sam Darnold in there. He hadn't done a thing. Guess what? Even though we think McCarthy's raw, we can form him out of clay and we'll just plug and play him when they can't.
Well, I think it's – and I supported not bringing back Darnold because I just thought the price, considering the last two games, was not what I'd want to do. Now, I think they clearly wanted Daniel Jones back, and he was going to be the bridge to give him that year, but Daniel Jones wanted a better opportunity to start, and he found that in Indianapolis.
Yeah, he didn't think now, he was going to start.
No, not here. He thought he had a better shot starting there,
and
he bet on himself, and he was proven true. Now, Aaron Rodgers – you look at that in hindsight and say, well, maybe they should have signed him for.
I just don't think he's played very
well. Or another veteran. Aaron Rodgers or another veteran who could have come in here and been another year bridge if you had this much work.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. They probably said, you know what? KO's the quarterback whisperer. He's done a good job. Look what he's done with other quarterbacks. He's maximized. He's elevated them. He's, all this infrastructure around JJ. Let's roll with it. And it just has not materialized the way they thought it was.
Let's talk about play by the individual players and who has exceeded expectations or played so well they've stood out. I think we all would have to say right now their best player is their kicker, right?
Yeah.
Because he just keeps producing. I don't know how to judge JJ because even your guy Mark Craig, and I saw a couple of videos, Mark Craig writes in his 5 extra points that he's open all over the place. Because you guys were there, and we're not seeing that as much on TV. So it's hard for me to get too critical of him. But think about that. Who else can you say? I mean, like Jalen Redmond stands out a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Some of that is the expectations game. But, like, how many other guys? I mean, like Darisaw, because he's been in and out. This doesn't seem like a typical Darisaw year. The receivers and
tight,
coming off injury. It's hard to – and the offensive guys all are – in an unfair spot because the way McCarthy's played.
Well, that's it. It's hard to judge the offense because, and particularly the receivers, like, are they even given a chance now? No. Defensively, I mean, I think you'd have to say Jalen Redmond. I mean, he's been their most consistent guy. I think Blake Cashman's been good when he's healthy. But, yeah, it's
– Van Ginkle and Grenard are still very good.
Very good, yeah, when they're on the field and healthy. But there's just not enough of those guys, and it's just everything's being overshadowed by the quarterback situation right now because it just feels like it snowballs. And that's they had a bad special teams play yesterday that cost them a touchdown, and they're down 11 points. You would have thought the sky was falling because everything has to be perfect right now.
Right, that's excellent. They also had a guy run off the field when he was the 11th guy. And
that was a bad look.
And that was a bad look overall because they didn't know. Where is Matt Daniels saying, KO, we got it. He's actually the 11th guy. We're fine. We don't need to call the timeout.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't cost him, but it's a bad look where you got a guy think he's the 12th guy and you have 11. But that's the thing. I mean, the undisciplined penalties, the turnovers, they're second worst in turnover margin in the league. So it's
they're a bad team.
Yeah, a flawed team right now.
Okay, let's get to a flawed defense where, I don't know, is this the Rob Smith era? Is this the Glenn Mason era late in November when the defense would collapse? But it's 1,500 yards last three games the Gopher defense has allowed.
Uh-huh.
And I get the Oregon Ducks. I don't get the Michigan State Spartans and Northwestern. And you had the numbers. You tweeted them out. Northwestern in scoring offense, total offense, passing offense, like 106, 110th, 108, something like that. They're not good.
Yep.
They're just not a good offensive team. And they look like Matthew Stafford and the L.A. Rams against the Gophers.
Yeah, it was inexcusable. And I know PJ's bringing up the youth card again, that they're playing young. But, against Northwestern in year 9, I don't think people want to hear about year young.
Nope.
I mean, In the transfer portal era, no. I don't think, you know, you want to use that as an excuse. So they're just not good. I mean, the fact that they lost that game and had no resistance against that quarterback was 15 of 15 in the second half and basically yes. did whatever he wanted.
Correct.
I mean, it was, you know, it'll be interesting to see if there are any changes after this season in terms of coaching. I don't know. It's just they've been so bad defensively this year that it's hard to run it back and just blame it all on youth. You know, I mean, it's got to be more than that. I'm sorry.
I hired him with our great friend Guardsy afterwards, and he went with it again. We're a really good football team. He's always going to be someone, and I think we both believe he's actually that's who he actually is. It's uh-huh. not fake, like maybe a former Gopher coach, but I won't mention that right now. That's who Fleck is. But if it, like you said, it's year nine, it's November 22nd, and you just gave up 38 to Northwestern and you lost, you have one really good game against Nebraska, who's not a world beater, but that's a really good game. That's it. And I don't want to hear the apologists telling me if they beat a woeful Badgers team, playing a little better, but still woeful, and they win whatever meaningless game, that somehow this was anything but at minimum, and I don't even buy it, I don't even think this was a mediocre year. This is an underachieving year, right?
Yeah, and he'll point to, well, you know, we have a freshman quarterback and expectations were 6 wins, but you have to look at it as you're evaluating as the season goes along, right? And to have the issues they've had on offense, to have this defense that just melt down, to get just absolutely rolled off the field against, even competent teams on the road, not even going to all the really good teams, but just competent teams have run off the field on the road. It's hard for me to, you know, stand up there and say this was a good season, you know, even if it winds up with 7 regular season wins, 8 overall if they win a bowl game. It's just kind of underwhelming to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And again, you have the one great year. You have him going with year zero, even though he's taken over a program that won, what, 9 the year before. I think both of us believe he is a competent, solid coach who can win at this level at a number of places to win at this level. I have no idea if he would have better resources if he can win. But as everybody has said over and over again, now Indiana's the latest darling, what Wisconsin did, even Purdue popping up, even Michigan State popping up, these schools that pop up for 2 or 3 years, and then sometimes they stay for a long time. Fleck had the one great year. A lot of people hoped he would build on it. Then, as you have pointed out astutely, number of other years where he was benefiting from the West and didn't take advantage. I just think we know what you have with this program.
Yeah, I mean, the floor has been raised. I think we can say that, right?
Yeah.
But
has it been raised above Kill and Mason, though? I don't think so. Brewster,
maybe.
Wacker,
yeah, Brewster, for sure, yeah. I mean, it's, but that's it. It's like all we've heard is cultural sustainability. You got it. You know, that's the key ingredient here. Well, he's the second longest tenured coach in the Big Ten.
Yeah, like, right.
When is the big payoff coming? I mean, even 2019 was wonderful, but they didn't even go to the Big Ten championship that year.
No.
They finished top 10. I mean, they did a lot of things. Great team, great season. It's fun. But even that felt like, man, they left something on the table there. And there were other opportunities mm-hmm. to win the West. I think we'd probably look at it differently if they had done once or,
yes.
you know, twice.
I agree.
Gotten to that game and won the West. I think we'd just feel differently about this.
Thank you, sir. I hope you have a fabulous Thanksgiving. Tell me the one food you're most looking forward to consuming on Thanksgiving.
Green bean casserole.
Who are you? Honestly.
Green bean casserole?
Dave, I can see the look on your face. Go ahead.
If that's not bottom of the barrel, it's near. What?
Oh.
What is the matter with you?
Stuffing. Those two things. Oh, come on.
Now,
really?
Stuffing, of course.
Yeah, stuffing's at the top of the piece.
Does your wife make the green bean casserole and she's listening right next to you? Is that what's going on?
Hostage situation.
She makes it, but there's no chance she would listen to me on the radio.
All right, brother. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk next week.
Same to you guys. Yeah, we'll see you.
Chip Scoggins here on CCO. When we come back, are you happy? Let me know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.